Well, Pasuk Tes, I just want to add on something from the Vilna Gaon. He says on the previous Pasuk, it's an observation. You see the length that Achashverosh went to make sure that everybody gets what they want. So he's locked into that mode for reasons of his own. He had ulterior motives. He wasn't like a super nice person. But that was Dan Hugger. He was conducting himself along those lines. Whatever you want this, you don't want that. There should be no instances at this mission where one should want something and not get it, and it should be there ahead of time. He anticipated the ritzinus. He anticipated the wants and the desires. At the same time, in the same framework, there's one person's want that he totally, totally didn't take into consideration. As we're going to see, the want of his wife, his dear queen, Vashti. You know, it's called incongruence. The incongruence. The sheer contradiction that you're totally involved in Lasa is called Ritzayin Ish for Ish. Each and every person, no matter how low. Not everyone at this Mishnah was a dignitary. There are people that might be put into class called nobodies.
Dirt pole.
Nobodies, right. Lowlifes. Even those people, they want something. Your wish is my command. I'm at your service. Vashti, she was a Malka. She held the loftiest, highest position possible for a woman to hold. A woman can't be in a position of greater covet. She wants something. What does she want? A reasonable request. She wants to be left alone. She doesn't want to be called. She doesn't want to be summoned as an exhibit. She doesn't want to be an exhibit. And her ratzon somehow got lost in the shuffle. This is Shaloik Derech HaTeva. The Vilna Gaon said this is a nes. It's a nes. It's an open nes. But Derech HaTeva, when one is in an expansive mood and he's granting each and every person their request, so then he also grants his queen her requests. Oh, you don't want to come? Whatever you want. You want to come? You don't want to come? It was just a suggestion. There's no forcing. There's no coercion. I don't want anything. Achashverosh would say, I don't want anything to mar these 7 days. I want these 7 days to be seven perfect days. That each and every person should walk away from this saying, this was perfect and everything I wanted. So he wants her to come. She doesn't want to come. Okay, you don't want. It's fine. And it was a total about face. The Vilna Gaon said, this is one of the miracles, one of the many miracles, and it's one of the miracles that saved our lives. Each and every miracle is part of a greater picture that saved the life of Klal Yisrael. Pasuk Tes. Gam, also. Pasuk starts with the word Gam. Gam, also. Vashti Amalka, Vashti the Queen. Asasa, she made Mishtei Nashim. She made a feast for the women. Beis Amalkas. Beis HaMalkus means she made it in the house of the king. She made a feast for the women in the house of the king, Asher HaMelech Achashverosh. It was Achashverosh's personal house, his personal room. The Megillah Esterim explains this pasuk based on the Gemara Megillah. The word Gam means also. What do you need to say the word Gam for? It says Achashverosh made a party. Vashti made a party. So on our own, we could figure out that she also made a party.
Who's saying this?
Megillah Esterim. Megillah Esterim says the word Gam is not referring to the actual party. It's referring to the kavana behind the party, the intent. Gam means just like Achashverosh's party was planned, was plotted, in order to drag the Jews down, primarily through Gilei Arayos, through immorality. So Gam is that she made her Mishnah for the same motive. She had the same motive that she wanted to drag down the Jewish people. Now, it was the custom of those days that the, you know, they had, even the Gam in those days, as immoral as they were, but they had standards, at least external standards on the outside, standards of propriety. And the truth is that these standards lasted throughout all the generations until about 50 years ago. That there was a certain modesty, there was a certain semblance of standards until about 50 years ago. And then everything just fell apart, and the internal immorality was revealed. In the old days, you know what I'm talking about. Women dressed differently. It was more of a separate society. There wasn't like equal access. There were places for women, there were places for men, and it was like separate. In Persian society, the derech was that the men had a mishnah for the men where the men were, and the women had a mishnah for the women in a totally different place. It was separate. That didn't make them frummer. You know, they weren't more moral. This was like an outward show. You have to keep up appearances of morality. I mean, at best, it was superficial. But Vashti wasn't interested in even a show of superficiality. She made the Mishnah in the Beis HaMalchus. The Beis HaMalchus was right near the men were. She made it in Achashverosh's private dwellings. Why would she make it in Achashverosh's private dwellings? There must be a party room for the women. This is not the first time that a party is being thrown on the grounds of the Persian Empire. She made the party in Achashverosh's private abode because that was near the men. Why'd she do that? The purpose of the party was to drag the men down so that, you know, the women have to be close at hand. Now, this is besides the Zionists. There were paid Zionists that Achashverosh hired, and he instructed them to stroll in the Gina, in the garden. And then Vashti had women that attended her party, that they were, you know, to compliment the Zionists. And they should be, you know, a stone's throw away, very close, on hand. The Vilna Gaon points out that her whole suda was shalai al pi derech hateva. Let's take a step back and let's take a look at this mishnah that Achashverosh is making, just in the eyes of teva. So that means that we, for a moment, we don't focus on the 70 years being up. We don't focus on the anti-Beis HaMikdash aspect. Why is Achashverosh making a mishnah? He's making a mishnah to consolidate his hold on the kingdom. You saw in the machlokes in the Gemara whether he used wise tactics or foolish tactics, that he was makar of the rechaikim. But his goal was to consolidate the kingdom. Because empires are always in danger of rebellion. So if you entertain them and you bring them close, there's less chance of rebellion. The Vilna Gaon says that in a rebellion, the ones that are at the forefront of a rebellion are generally of the male gender. Generally, it's the men that overthrow a kingdom. There's very few Joan of Arcs around. Generally, it's the men. The men generally serve in the army. They're armed. There's exceptions. There are exceptions. It's also in Israel. The combat units are mostly men, more than mostly. There's a very poor representation of women in the combat units. So rebellion. So what purpose, you know, Achashverosh is making a mishnah for the men. He's making it for the males. Because those are the ones that he's afraid of. He's afraid of them. But the females, to make a party for the females, what's the point of that? They're not going to rebel anyway. And if they do rebel, they're not much of a threat. The Vilna Gaon said this was a nice, this was a miracle.
That what?
It was a miracle that Vashti saw fit to make a mishnah for the women folk of the kingdom. There's no real political gain from such a move. You know, you have the men on your side, you're pretty safe from rebellion.
Okay, but it doesn't say that she made...
What?
They can put into their mind otherwise.
Yeah, like I said, if the men... Yeah, but if you're makar of the men, and the men see that it's in their benefit to be close to the king instead of against the king, there's not that much of a threat from the women. He says, you know, when a king embarks on tactics to strengthen his kingdom militarily, he focuses on the men.
I'm saying the woman could put
You're saying logic, and we're talking about what the natural order of things are. You're right, it's possible. You know, women have an impact. Women could also have an army that could get guns and they could shoot and kill people just as much as a man could. But Derech HaTeva, the natural order of things, is the king reaches out to the men. That's just the way things are. So this was Shalaika Derech HaTeva.
So the question is, like, how does he do it? Like, for instance, he did the whole thing with the Zonas in the thing.
Right, I just want to focus on the political aspects of this party. We know that there were other reasons why he made the Mishnah. But just center and focus on the Pashit Pshat. And that's what the Vilna Gaon is saying. He's saying there is no Pasha Pshat. You can't understand this Mishnah with Pasha Pshat. There is no Pasha Pshat. Like, sometimes you get to a Medrash, and you say you can understand it in a simple manner, and then you can understand it on a deeper level. And there's certain Midrashim that there is no simple way of understanding them. You can only understand it on a deeper level. So the Vilna Gaon is saying that this Mishnah Hanashim, you can't explain this Mishnah Hanashim politically. There's only one way of understanding the Mishnah Hashem. That Kadosh Baruch Hu wants Vashti to get killed. And she's only going to get killed if she makes a party, and eventually that leads to her ultimate demise. So you see, this is a prat, this is a detail, a segment of the Purim story that doesn't fit in Derech HaTeva. It's a message that's being generated at us, towards us, that there's something going on here beneath the surface. Beis HaMalkus. The Vilna Gaon goes further. Beis HaMalkus means there's a room or an abode, a special area in the palace that's designated for the king. No one goes there. He said that's a further journey into Shalai Derech HaTeva. It's not Derech HaTeva. If you're making a Mishnah, you're making one already. If you make a Mishnah, a Derech HaTeva, you make a Mishnah for women in the room that only the king has access to?
That was to bother the king, no?
Why would you do that? I mean, you're creating a whole intrigue out of this. Why? Do we have any evidence that she had Kavanah? So you're answering that she made it there. No, the truth is, if I had to say something, I would say that as this story unfolds, you see that she believed that she was the true power behind the throne. She's the king. He's not the king. He's a stable boy. She's the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. He's only the king because he's married to her. So then it's appropriate that she would make her mishnah in the room that only the king could go because she's the king. So if I had to say something, that's what I would say. And not necessarily to get his goat, to incite him. She felt she belongs there. This is she's the Rosh Hashiva. She goes into she's the king of the entire country. This is her room. Yeah, and the door of her office should say chairman of the board, boss. She gets the big star in her dressing room. She's the star. That's what I would say.
Was it that she thought that she was, or she wanted to be?
She believed it. No, she believed it. She did believe it.
What?
But it's still Shalai Derech HaTeva for her to make a mishnah there. Even if we're explaining her motives, she could have a motive, a strong motive for making it there. It's still Shalai Derech HaTeva to make a mishnah for women in that room. That is not the room. The Vilna Gaon says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring this about? He said it was Hashkacha Pratis. This was brought about by Kadosh Baruch Hu's manipulation. Hashkacha manipulated the events. Hashem wanted her to make the Mishnah in a place which she normally would not have made. He wanted it. Why did Hashem want this? Vilna Gaon gives two reasons. One reason is, Chazal say, Lifnei Shever Gaon. In English, that translates into pride goeth before the fall. Lifnei Shever Gaon. There's two ways to knock a person down. You could just knock them down.
Or you can build them up and
then knock them
down.
Now, building them up and then knocking them down is the ultimate, because it really hurts. You know, just a muscle, you know. You throw somebody out of a first floor window, it hurts. It does hurt.
Now I know it.
You throw them out of an eighth floor window, it hurts more. The higher you are, the higher one is before the fall, then the greater the fall. So if they shever go on, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaks someone, go on, he brings them up. There's no greater covet than to have access to be able to make a mishnah in the room where the king designates for his own. The Vilna Gaon saying, how did she get away with it? How did she do it? You know, we don't have all the details, but somehow or another she managed to get away with it. She wasn't punished for it. She wasn't brought before the court of law for making the party there. She got away with it. She got tremendous covet. It's a tremendous covet to be able to use at your whim, to be able to use the king's room. And Hashem worked it out because she's about to fall. Hashem wants her to fall from the highest place. The other pshat, the Vilna Gaon says, one of the direct causes of Vashti's death was the speed at which everything happened. You know, Achashverosh wanted her to come, she didn't come, they killed her. There was no time to think. It was instant. And the Vilna Gaon said, why was it so quick? And you notice, you know, come, she didn't come, put her to death. Why was it so quick? Because she was right there. She was right there. If she would have been where she should have been, in the woman's banquet hall, it would have taken time to send for her. It would have taken time for her to come back. It would have taken time for him to realize that she's not coming. Time. And time is a danger to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Because for Hashem's plan, what's required is haste. No thought. Because if Achashverosh has time to think, he never would have killed her. As soon as he woke up from his drunken stupor, he regretted it. Time is a danger. Right? What's required now is haste. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked it out that she made it in a very, very foreign, strange place. Because Hashem wanted her, number one, to be in a position of honor. And number two, he wanted her to be in a position of proximity. That she should be very close. He didn't have to send for her. The Pasuk says, he sent Shluchim Lahavi to bring her. She was close. She was right there. Just bring her. He didn't have to send for her. She was there already. Come. Pasuk Yud. Peyem Ashvi was on the seventh day. Ketayv Lev HaMelech Bayayin. The heart of the king was Tayv. Tayv. It was good. Bayayin. Due to the effects of the wine. Amar, he said, Lamahuman Bizisa, Karvaina, Bigsa, Avagsa, Zesar, Vicharkas, Shivasa Sarisim. These are 7 foot soldiers, Hamasharsim is Pleya Melech HaKashverosh, that they serve the king and they actually see his face. These are the 7 servants that have access. They actually stand in the presence of the king and they directly serve him and they see him. And he said to them, so this is the prelude. He's about to suggest to them, or to strongly suggest to them, the Vashti should be brought. Bayam Ashvi. There was the original plan, and there was a backup plan. His original plan was to have a party for 7 days. The party started on Yom Rishon, what we call Sunday. Each and every day, he turned up the pressure. More opulence, more pleasure, more opportunities for Avera. He wanted Klai Yisrael to do Averis on Yom Rishon. He wanted them to do on Yom Sheni. He wanted them to do Averis on every single day. If he'd get them to do Averis even on Shabbos, that would complete the picture. That means that there's a completeness, a shleimus to their Averis. There's one thing to do an Avera, but it's a fragment. Okay, so the guy did Avera on Monday. But on Tuesday he didn't do Averis. So he's not doomed to total destruction. There's no completeness. There's no shleimus. His Avera has a blemish to it. It's not blemish free. But if the Rosh HaMarusha Vachashverosh is matzliach in getting the dignitaries of Klal Yisrael, and those are the ones who he was attempting to ensnare. So if he was matzliach in getting the dignitaries of Klal Yisrael, the head of Klal Yisrael, to do Averis on every single day of the week, including Shabbos, especially Shabbos, so then the Averis have a degree of shleimus. It's called tmimus. Tamim means blemish free. If the Gdolei Hador, the leaders of the nation, are trapped in Averis, in an eifrin, in a manner of blemish free, so then Klal Yisrael is finished. And he was matzliach for 6 days. Rabbi, let's not fool ourselves. There were those that ran away from the Mishnah. Mordechai stayed at the Mishnah and he wasn't nichshon averus.
What did he do?
He was serving. He was one of the servants. But he wasn't nichshon. Mordechai remained a tzaddik. But anyone else that was there, that didn't run away, did averus. They did averus. The Gemara tells us that there was a decree on Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim that they should be destroyed, man, women, and child. No more Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they derive benefit from the Seuda of Achashverosh. They derive benefit. Shenanu, they had Hanor. So you mean Medayik in the Gemara. If they would have been at the Mishnah, and they're doing it because they have to show respect to the king, and they have gratitude, and that's a curse of Tayyiv, and how could you say no? And if we don't come, he'll think that we're not loyal, and Chas v'Shalom, we're putting Klal Yisrael in danger. That wouldn't have been as severe. It wouldn't have been right, but it wouldn't have been as severe. The Gzardin came because Nanu! You're going because of Shalom Malchus? What right? What gives you the right to have Hanah? You're benefiting from a Suda that's designed to drag you down? What gives you the right to enjoy yourself? You should go there with thorns around your body, put on your festive clothes, covered in a melon. But underneath those clothes, you should have thorns. You should have rocks in your shoes. What, to enjoy yourself with the revelry of Rishayim and Avodah Zarah and in the company of immorality, to enjoy that? There's no way of justifying that. Nenu. So what saved Klal Yisrael? 6 days he was matzliach. Shabbos would have been the worst. There's two elements in Shabbos. First of all, it would have completed the complement of 7 days. And second of all, that's the day when we're supposed to be the highest. That's the day when we're supposed to be the closest to God. That's the day that God comes closer to us so we could be closer to Him. And on that day to do an Avera. So you have both in Yanim, the Shleimus and the day of the greatest potential. What saved us? Vashti was killed on Shabbos. Achashverosh wanted Vashti to come. Why do you want her to come? More Tumah. Increase the Tumah quotient. Bring Vashti with all her Tumah. But if you think that he brought it just because he was this besotted individual, he was a shikker, and he came up with this lunatic idea of a lunatic to have her come without her clothes on because he's such a bal taiva. There's no taiva that could explain this. That's not adequate. Well, because a taiva, you do such a thing? That doesn't make sense. That's not the answer. Taiva? Taiva, he brings his wife so everyone else should see her? Taiva can explain that? Taiva drives a person to keep things for himself, not to give it away.
No, it's only Gaiva.
Gaiva, Taiva. It's, you know, he was motivated by more tumor, more breakdown, more standards. There is a taiva. There's a taiva to break down standards. He's going to take the object of his taiva, and there's going to be no standards. Everyone can see her. That's ultimate tumor. And she didn't want to come. She didn't want to participate. She didn't want to be a part of it. And he was perturbed. It ticked him off. And he got angry. And his anger, listen to Godless, his anger distracted him. And he totally forgot what he was trying to do. He got knocked off track. What should he have done? I'm not trying to give Achashverosh advice. What should he have done? He should have said, listen, Vashti, I'll deal with you later. Deal with her the next day. Put her to death the next day. You can't wait a day. Vashti will deal with you later. You're rebellious against the king. We'll deal with you later. And keep the party going. Martama. He's trying to destroy the Jewish people. What happened? He got sidetracked. And then he stopped. And because of that, the Jewish people, they didn't do Averis on that day. They kept Shabbos.
The party actually stopped when that happened?
The whole machinery, you know. Yeah, sure, the drama was focused somewhere else.
They didn't break Shabbos? Like, yeah, they weren't like cheering on or whatever?
No, they kept Shabbos.
Cool.
They kept Shabbos. That's what
the
video was.
How far was this into the party?
What?
When did this into the party?
This was the seventh day. Oh. He forgot. The Megillah's time says he forgot to keep it going, keep the party going. More of it was more of
it. So it happened actually Friday Shabbos. Night, or
they kept Shabbos. I don't know how long it took for him to get them to do Averis. Mm-hmm. Before they did Averis, it stopped. So he was trying to bring more tumah into it. But the result was that he brought Kedusha. Achashverosh was the cause for Kedusha Shabbos. Albeit unknowingly, unwillingly.
Maybe it means when he said he was stupid, that he was a bad drunk.
I don't think so. The only evidence we had of his tipshus is what he was Makar of the distant governors. Everything else looks like he was pretty smart. When it comes to destroying a holy nation, he was pretty smart.
Yeah.
His stupidity had its areas. But in this area, he was not. He was more dangerous than Haman.
Really?
Yes. Megill Starm explains it. Megill Starm has a kasha.
Why don't we make noise by his name?
We should do half the Megillah by Achashverosh and the second half, which is Achashverosh.
Every time.
There's a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek. There's no mitzvah to obliterate
Haman.
The memory
right.
of Persians.
Right.
We the minute to bang by Haman's name is a taitzah. It's a product of the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek.
Mm-hmm.
The Megillah Star, yeah, he expounds on this. To command Vashti to come, to appear in front of them, is Shalei Kedar HaTava. There has to be some cause. He addresses this by expounding on the names of the seven foot soldiers. And their names are Mehuman, Bizasa, Chavaina, Bigsa, Vagsa, Zeser and Karkas. He said these seven names are not just seven names of the chamberlains of Achashverosh. These seven names are seven names of seven different ruchos hatumah, seven different types of spiritual impurity. Kadosh Baruch Hu created spiritual purity in this world. And Kadosh Baruch Hu also created a potential for spiritual impurity. And as we know, Zelo Mazeh Bor Elokim, there's seven levels of spiritual purity, and there's a parallel Keneged. Like I said, Keneged is an opposing seven forces of spiritual impurity. And the names of these seven are Mahumun Bizza Chavarna Biksa of Axis Esavakakras. So he goes through the seven. And we won't necessarily go in order. Mahumun, I think, is pretty obvious. Mahumun means confusion. Mahuma.
Sounds like Mahuma.
Right. Mahuma is confusion. That means formlessness. What causes Averis? What's a cause for Averis? When one is in a state of confusion, when he doesn't have a clarity, so then that's, you know, that leads to improprieties. When one is confused, when his rock-hard values have been shaken. Mahuman, formlessness. That one doesn't have a clear idea of what's right and wrong. That's a ruach atumah. Biza is a plunder. Biza. Plunder. It's a form of tumah. To take, you know, to go cross boundaries. Biza means, you think that's yours? I'm going to capture you. I'm going to take it away from you. That's a form of tumah. Capturing things, taking things away, not recognizing limits and boundaries.
Capturing?
Plundering. Chavarna, I think chavarna is pretty easy. Chavarna means destruction. That's a form of tumah. There's a tumah that confuses, there's a tumah that plunders, and there's a tumah that destroys. Pasha destroys. Chavarna like cherev, a sword, chorban. Bigsa and Avagsa, you should have very similar. They have the same sherish. Bigsa and Avagsa are very similar.
Chavarna is just one really good
What?
What's Chavarna is writing down
the line? Korban, destruction. Huh? Bigsa and Avagsa, the sherish is the word gas. Gas is a press, a wine press. So it's also a form of destruction. It's pressure. He doesn't explain the difference between bigs and avaks. I guess there's different types of pressure. It squeezes things, steps on things, steps over things, stepping on things. You could step on values. You could step, you know, a guy wants to be a chash of a guy, he's working on himself. And someone goes over to him, ah, you faker. That's called stepping on him. That's a ruach hatumah. Do you understand? I mean, I'm just giving one example. Zesar, the sherish is the word tayar. A tayar is a tourist.
Which one is this?
Zesar. The sherish is tayar, tough yud reish, like a tourist. So he explains that there's a ruach hatumah that's constantly looking for victims. It's on the lookout for victims. There's a ruach hatumah that, you know, a person can be in the presence of tumah. And then the person, Hashem, someone's in the presence of tumah, so he's going to get affected by it. So this ruach, I'm just contrasting it. There could be a ruach tumah that only affects someone if he chooses to be in the proximity of tumah. So you have a neighbor, a friend, or an acquaintance that he's tumah, and you choose to associate with him. So then, of course, it's going to rub off.
I'm not sure what to write for this.
But Zesar means it's a traveling tumah. That means it's tumah that's on the move.
Oh, tumah that seeks people out.
Seeks people out, yeah. It's tumah on the move. And there's that kind of tumah also. Karkas. The word karkas, the sherish, is a kar and a kesis. A kar and a kesis, that's bedding. Pillows and cushions. Kar and kesis is pillows and cushions. we said that that's, you know, the collective Chayakatumah, that it controls all of them. You know, you can't just have six Ruchas of Tumah acting at random. They won't be very effective. You need like a general. So Karkas is the general. Karkas is the maitre d'. Karkas is the manager. Karkas is the principal. You know, in order to be a principal,
general of all
the most effective principal in a school. And I'm only making the comparison, I'm not making the comparison because I have something against principals. All right, let's say in order to be a principal of a school, the most effective principal is the principal that they've taught kindergarten, they've taught first grade, until they did all the classes. I mean, I've known principals, they've done this, that they, you know, each year they take a different class and they try and, you know, because how could you give guidance to others if you haven't lived through it yourself? Karkas is the one that it collectively has all the other karkas atomic together. And that's why it's the cushion, it's the pillow, because the pillow and the cushion is something that everything else rests on. Everything rests, in the end, everything rests on Karkas. Megillah Star uses this to explain why Vashti was summoned to come. He said, because since you had the collective powers of Tumah at this Mishnah, so this Mishnah had a Shlemus of Tumah. It had all the possible Tumah imaginable, and it had its representatives there at the Mishnah. These people, they were people. They excelled in these midas. They had such, their midas were like par excellence. They specialized in Tumah. Each one had their specialty. And that created a Ruach HaTumah. Mm-hmm. And Ruach HaTumah wants more Tumah. So Miguel Stein says, in the normal circumstances, it was Shalaika Dechateva to bring more Tumah, to do such Tumah, to bring Vashti, to bring her in such a manner. But in the presence of these seven people, the collective Tumah raised the atmosphere. It was such an atmosphere of Tumah. And you could understand this at a very basic level. You know, you have immoral people, that between all these people, they know every single immoral joke or line, you know, in the world. And the conversation, each guy outdoes, they pick the perverts. And each guy outdoes the other in his perversion. So then a lot more things are possible. You can understand this on a very basic level. But let's not ignore the spiritual component that is just, it stunk from Tumah. It stunk. There was an odor.
And the people couldn't smell it?
Says that there was a smell in the pussy?
No.
An odor of Tumah.
Not like...
They were intoxicated. They were intoxicated. Please don't misunderstand me. They were intoxicated with Tumah. They were intoxicated. I don't know. Somebody please bring me a Megrash Gedolos Shmais. Right there, the big ones.
So this day was Karvik Sus.
What?
Karvik Sus.
Karvik Sus was his day. Yeah, he's connected Shabbos. Oh, very astute. Karkas, he's a parallel to Shabbos. This was his day.
He's the general.
This is the mitzvahs. This was his day.
Never heard that for a general.
There's
another one?
A red one.
Red one.
Give me like a Mission Impossible.
Just want to read you a Targum. If we can get our hands on one. Let me Targum with you.
So when he wanted to kill Vashti, it was a little bit of it was Mahuman? Like that was the Mahuman part of the day that got to him, like the confusion, or
it was a part of it. To what extent, you know, the mixture? No, I'll get it. No, I'm sorry.
What do you say?
don't we take a short break as Rabbi Siegel goes to get across the door? In the meanwhile, we'll
can I say something really quick?
A nice little number.
Sure.
Here's yeah. something from Dali.
No, but
don't be,
you're right. Don't
but so this is the Tumah being used against him on that day.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. The problem with Tumah is the Tumah could blow up in your face too. Yeah, he Baruch Hashem, here. That's the problem with Tumah. Yes, so there was Mahuman over there. Mahuman was there, and it blew up in Achashverosh's face. The Targum on this pasuk.
No.
Says Mordechai Tzadik. Davin Takadosh Baruch Hu. He was in constant tefila. He was in a state of constant tefila for 7 days. He davened Shmoneh Esrei 7 days long. But please don't ask me if he's davening Shmoneh Esrei. How could he give people wine to drink? I don't know. He managed it. But he said he was davening from the first day of the Mishnah until the seventh day, till Shabbos. He didn't.
He didn't enjoy
have enough from the Suda. Do you know why he didn't have enough from the Suda? Could you imagine he was at a Suda?
Because you can't eat while you're dying.
You have a Suda that there wasn't anything lacking from the Suda. It says Lach Malayachal. He didn't partake of any bread. Mari Lashasa, he didn't drink even a sip of water. He didn't partake of a single thing. He fasted for 7 days.
Whoa.
I'd say if he needed to eat something. So then at nighttime, it could be he fasted during the day. I don't know. Maybe he fasted for 7 days. It's been done before. And the seventh day was Shabbos. So they daven, they're mekabel Shabbos, and he convened the Sanhedrin in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they made a whole tefillah there. Him with the Sanhedrin, mekabel Shabbos, and they daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the king's heart was tayv in wine.
Was what?
The king's heart was good with wine.
I don't know.
So Kadosh Baruch Hu sent a malach. Hashem answered his tefillas. The Targum is telling us the secret behind this shtus. Hashem answered the tefillas of Mordechai. He answered the tefillas of the Sadat and Sanhedrin. He took note of the tainus of Mordechai. And there's a double schus in the tainus. First of all, there's a schus in fasting. And there's a schus in not having hanaf on the Suda of Achashverosh. And he sent the malach of insanity. Did you know there's a malach of insanity? It's a malach of insanity.
Yeah, you are.
To wreak havoc among the Mishnah.
That feels of which one? That feels of what? Which? The chacha, which who's to
this call? This calls Achashverosh. He also darshens the names.
Achashverosh. I know that Achashverosh and the Sanhedrin.
Mordechai and the Sanhedrin.
They were davening.
Say that. So that's how the Targum sees.
That's why this happened with Vashti.
Mordechai fasted. Mordechai davened the Mekabel Shabbos. And he has a different way of dashing the names of the seven. He actually dashes the names of the seven based on what's ultimately going to happen to them. Somebody goes down, dashes the names of their potential. In Tuma, and the Targum Anderson dashes them based on their ultimate demise and destruction. So we don't have time to go into that right now. Great Mitzvashem Sunday. Right, Shukayach Tizkel Mitzvahs. Tayyav Aruchav Shalom.
45 minutes and 2 seconds.